And if you're a guest with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for being here today and being a part of our worship service. And if you came in, I hope you found someone that gave you a program. And inside that program is a little card. We call it the connection card. We ask you to take a minute, find that card, fill it out, and then at the end of the service, we'd love for you to drop that in one of the offering boxes, or you can give it to me. I'd love to meet you. Give it to me. I give you a free gift, and I thank you for being here today. I'd be honored that for you to stop by and see me for just a quick minute. And again, thank you for being here. If you're a regular attender, at least put your name on it and let us know that you're here. There may be some things on the back of your card. Maybe there's a prayer request, ways that we can pray for you. Maybe there's a comment, or something that we can do better. Perhaps there's something to sign up for. There might be a decision that you need to make. And so let us know about those decisions. Let us know about what God has put on your heart. We'd love to connect with you that way. And so before we jump into the message, just want to say a couple of quick things. And a couple of housekeeping things, important things here. But we have a mission trip team, number one, that is in Romania today. They left Friday, and they'll be gone till this Saturday. So we want to pray for them. So far, so good. God has been using them today. I mean, it's already, 7 hours ahead of us. So, they're kind of moving along in a good way. They're involved in different churches this morning, some of the teams in different villages. Pastor Chris preached at a Romanian church of 800 people through a translator. And so I hear good things. He sent me a picture this morning. And basically every picture he's sent me so far, or we've seen on Facebook, centers around food. So it looks like they're doing okay, all right? But we do want to pray for them, pray for God's provision and mercy and his power as they minister to the hearts of Romania this week. And so if you don't mind, let's pray for them and join me in prayer as we pray for the team of 9 people that are in Romania. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this team. And God, we thank you for your protection over them so far. We thank you that they are able to minister in different ways today through churches throughout the area. God, we pray that you will continue to use them this week. We pray for your protection, but God, we pray for the power of God in their ministry as they minister through cultural divide or language barriers. God, in spite of all those things, that you will be able to overcome that through your Holy Spirit, and they will minister in a way that they can never imagine. And so, God, we pray for them. We pray for them to come home, and we look forward to all the stories of your blessings and your power and decisions that were made this week in the country of Romania. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, speaking of mission trip, next Sunday, let me just talk about this. Next Sunday, we start a brand new, I don't know if it's a sermon series, but it's a mission series. And every November, we do this. And so next Sunday, we start a new series called God's Heart for the Nations. We want to look into God's heart for the nations. And next week and the next couple of weeks, we'll get to hear from different people, missionaries that will be with us, to kind of share what God is doing. We're going to hear from Chad Nelson next week. He represents a mission organization in Africa. We're also going to be hearing an interview from my friend Sam. And Sam is in Kenya. Africa, and we get to hear a little interview about what he's doing. We help him to go to Bible college, seminary. Our church financially helped him to do that, and so we get to hear what God is doing, and you're going to love my friend Sam. I think he got the prettiest smile in all of Africa, and so you're going to get to know him, get to meet him next week as well. The following week, we'll get to hear from my friend Irfan our friend, many of you know Irfan, and he gets here. He told me about 3 months ago, he said, Scott, I've got a message for the church, and I want to bring that. And so I said, let's bring you in. And anytime he tells me that he got something to share, I want him to share it. And so he'll be with us in a couple of weeks. My friend David Huey from Hungry for a Day will be with us. And then we're going to close with a great mission speaker named Tim Patterson. And he's done ministry and mission work all over the country and all over the world. And we'll get to hear from him in a couple of weeks as well. And so we've just got some exciting things coming up. And so next Sunday is Africa Focus, which means we're going to talk about Africa mission trip in summer of 2026. And we invite you to think about it. If you're interested, there will be a meeting after the service, the second service, right in here. Short meeting, I'll give you more details. So let us know on the back of your card and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I'd like to learn more information. We'll give you all the details next week, next after Sunday. And Chad Nelson, who will be with us on that trip, will be here with us to answer the questions with us. And so that'll be next Sunday. And so we definitely want you to make sure you get connected with that, okay? And so that's going to be exciting. On top of that, as far as our mission focus, not only are we focusing on mission all around the world, we're also focusing on mission in our own backyard. As part of the Great Commission, as part of our mission effort, it starts from our own backyard, from here, there, and everywhere. And so what we're doing in every November is our Thanksgiving food drive. And this year, we're feeding more than we did last year, 4 different locations. And so we want to encourage you to be faithful in that. You've always been good, always been faithful in the way that you give, in the way that you bring food, and the way that you volunteer. And your program is that bookmark. This is the most important thing about this information. The different ways to give were a little behind on collection and finances. But I know that this, you know, we're in November now, so I believe that this is an opportunity for us to step in, ways to give, ways to give food. You can go to DetroitThanksgiving.com. You can give there. Everything that's given to that goes to Thanksgiving Food Drive. And also that website tells you how you can plug into one of the 4 locations if you want to serve on that day. And so it's on that Saturday, the 22nd, is that right? November 22nd, I believe, is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we give out 4 meals to, Lord willing, we're providing for 1,600 families. And so with everything that's going on in our country, lots of people are losing benefits on food and SNAP benefit. So there could be a lot of need this month. And so this is an opportunity for the church not to let off the gas. This is an opportunity for the church, capital C Church, for us to step on the gas and raise the level of ways that we can help and be the hands and feet of Jesus to people who are in need here in our own community. And so I encourage you to step into all these things as we focus our mission in the month of November. And so today we had Taylor, and when I say Taylor, this was Taylor right here. She had Taylor stepping in as our worship coordinator. As we continue to look for the next worship pastor, we're going to take our time until God brings the right person, that the right fit at the right time here at Lake Point Church. But in the meanwhile, Taylor can be doing a great job developing the team, keeping the team moving, and bringing us good worship. And didn't she do a fantastic job today? That's right. So you see her around, you know, give her a word of encouragement, say, hey, thank you for stepping in, and she really is, and not just her, but the whole team, everyone is stepping in and just doing a great, great job. Thank you for the tech team as well, and we praise the Lord for all that he's doing here in our church. And I want to jump into our message. We want to talk about how you think. How you think. Because what fills your mind will eventually shape your heart, your attitude, your actions. As a man thinks in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. And whether you realize it or not, every day you're being shaped by the way you think. The direction of your life always follows the direction of your thought. It's called the battle of the mind, right? It all starts here. And so that's why it's important to talk about this today. And we live in a world that is constantly trying to shape how you think. Through our culture, through the entertainment and media, you know, music, television, you know, through social media, through the pressure of the people around us, social pressures, even our past experiences. They're constantly trying to shape how we think. But God is calling us to think differently than the world. And he calls us to renew our mind and to filter our thoughts through his truth. I want to jump in. I've been meditating on Philippians, the book of Philippians, probably the last 3 or 4 months. And I just really just pondering, thinking it through, reading it, and God has spoken to me in different ways through this chapter. And on this standalone Sunday, not a sermon series, but I just want to bring this thought. And I thought this would be so helpful because you know tonight we're gonna. I mean, how many of you enjoyed that extra hour of sleep last night? Yeah. How many of you stayed up an extra hour and lost the extra hour? You kind of negated it. You knew it was coming. Okay, yeah, you said, I'm going to stay up an extra hour. Okay, so you didn't get the benefit, right? But tonight, all of a sudden, we're going to look at our window at 5:30, 6 o'clock. I don't know what time it's going to get dark tonight, but it's going to get dark a little bit earlier than normal. We're going to be like, oh, man. You know, I know what sometimes when this season begins to hit, the blues start to come in too. I mean, we start singing the blues, you know, it's so dark early, man, it gets dark. But before you know it, you're leaving work and it's dark, you know? And it's like, what happened? I didn't even see daylight today. You know, I was stuck in the office all day. And so I want to talk about how to keep our mind fresh and thinking properly no matter what the circumstances are. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4, you might recognize some of these verses. I used the passage, some of these passages of scripture a few weeks ago, but let's read it again. Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. The Bible says that in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. And then verse number 8, this is where we're going to live today. This is where we're going to unpack. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Oftentimes, we read this passage when life feels uncertain or when life feels a little stressed. But verse 8 is more than just calming your nerves. It's about directing your thoughts. It's about directing your mind. It's about training yourself to think God's thoughts, to align your mental pattern with His truth. And here's the big idea. This is the big point I want us to hopefully walk away from it. And if you're taking notes, here it is. You and I can't control every thought that flies into your mind. However, you can control which ones you allow to land. And the ones that you allow to land, those are the ones that are going to shape your life. But when we lived in Pensacola and came to, my wife, she's a Pensacola girl, and when we lived in Pensacola, you know, I oftentimes look in the airspace of beautiful Pensacola, and you could see the magnificent blue angels flying around. These are these high-flying jets, you know, that skill, that can fly real close to each other and do all these special maneuvers. And you could just see them. I saw them so much that they became, you know, second nature. You know, and we saw them all the time. And now when we go back in Pensacola, it's exciting to see them. And of course, the locals, they're like, you know, whatever. You know, they see it all the time. You know, I remember when we went to a show, and they always did a couple shows in Pensacola every year. And I was the singles pastor of a church down there. And I thought, how cool would it be to rent a charter boat and we go out and watch, you know, the Blue Angels on the water. I thought that'd be kind of cool. And I called around and I got a hold of a fishing boat. It's a fish captain. I said, hey, I know you use your boat to take people out fishing. What if you could use your boat for spectating? And he said, well, I mean, I guess I could do that. I mean, you know, yeah, we just want to watch the Blue Angels. And there's about 30 of us. He said, well, I can hold about 30 people on my boat. He had a good-sized boat. And so when you do this, when you go out there, you have to get out there by a certain time, and then you can't leave until after a certain time. So you're out there for 5 to 6 hours. And I didn't think about this. I didn't think it would be a problem, you know, but we've got 30 people on the boat. We get out there, and at first it's cool, but then those waves. Nonstop. And it didn't affect me, but all of a sudden I noticed that, you know, people weren't watching the Blue Angels. I thought, where is everybody? And I noticed that I went down into the cabin, into a little cabin, and there's about 10 to 12 people just curl up like a baby, just praying, please let it stop. Please make it stop. And so we can't go. We got to stay here. We can't leave, you know. And they just couldn't handle, you know, a boat on the waves and for 5 or 6 hours. We went to another show with the Blue Angels and was actually at the Naval Air Station, which is just a neat place to go to watch the show. And we have VIP access. I knew someone at a church who was high up in the Naval, at the Naval Station, and said, Scott, I'm going to get you right front and center. And to watch these planes right there at the runway take off and take, you know, land, and it wasn't just the Blue Angels, it was all these other airplanes, the pre-show before the main event, and it was awesome. And I thought about it as I was sitting there. I said, man, I thought about what is truly the most important person that's out here. It's not the commander of the naval base. It's not these jet pilots, you know, the fighter pilots. They're important, but they're not the most important person. It dawned on me that the most important person was that air traffic controller. He can't control the planes that are in his airspace, but the air traffic controller can control who lands. And that is what Paul is talking about here in this passage. Every one of us here, we are the air traffic controller of our minds. We can't control every thought that pops in. But what we can do is control which one sticks around and which one needs to leave. Paul gave us a list, right? He said in verse number 8, he gave us a list for every thought that enters our mind. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, and right, and pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, hey, this is your list. Think about just things. That's what we're supposed to think about. This is your list of what you allow to land as your own air traffic controller of your mind. Now, that phrase, think about, that we see here in verse 8, in the Greek word, it's the word logizomai. Logizomai, that's the word in Greek. And we get the English word logic. That's what that word stands for, logic. In other words, it's logical to think about such things. Paul's saying, use your mind, be intentional, be logical about what you are to dwell on. In other words, don't just let your emotions or your impulses drive your thoughts. Direct them with truth. Don't let your impulses, your feelings, your good feelings, your bad feelings, your feelings come to go. You know, I was talking to a pastor. He had emailed me, the pastor friend of mine. He emailed me on Monday evening. And he said, Scott, hey, I'm just having a hard day. He was really having a difficult day. He had received earlier on Monday a negative email from one of his church plants, or church members. And it was just, you know, long. He said, this is what they send me. And then he said, how should I respond to this? And I'll pray about this and maybe call me tomorrow. And so on Tuesday, I called him up. I said, hey, buddy. And by the time I talked to him on Tuesday, he was already feeling much better. He'd already gotten some other wisdom as well. Basically, well, it's the same wisdom. Hey, just, you know, if there's some truth out of it, take it, you know, take some of that, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bone, you know, don't, you know, but some of it just ignore it, you know, and then some other things too. But I told him, I said, listen, I know you were so discouraged on Monday, especially since on Sunday, they love on him. The church, it was Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I mean, they just loved on him. They gave him gifts. And then on Monday, he gets one email, and it just rocked his world. And I told him, I said, listen, I know you probably heard this, my friend. I said, and this is an advice for every pastor on Monday, never quit on Monday. Because every pastor had the gloom sometimes. You know, we have, you know, a holy hangover, you know, we're just kind of, and all it takes is that one negative email. We're exhausted from the weekend. And I said, never quit on Monday. Don't make a decision on Monday. And Paul, he talks about this in Romans chapter 12. He said, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't live by the impulses of this world. Don't live by the impulses of your feeling. Stop letting culture shape how we think. And we start letting Christ shape how we think. We let Christ shape us from that negative, from the evil, from the ungodly thoughts, and let him shape it to what's positive, to what is godly, what is spiritual, to spiritual thoughts. In other words, if you're taking notes, not every thought is worthy of thinking about. Every thought that comes in, it's not every thought is worthy of your time. It's worthy of your energy. If it's not worthy to land, get it out. You don't need to think about it. Not every thought is worthy of a landing strip in your mind. They just need to be rerouted immediately. And the thought that we want to land, the thought that we want to hang on to, it's that verse 8. Right? Let's just start there. Whatever is true, that eliminates, right, a lot of things. It eliminates a lot of things. You know what that word means? Tell you what it doesn't mean. It's not imaginary. And oftentimes we allow imaginary thoughts in our minds. We see this in verse 6, right? Do not be anxious about anything. Anxious. What is anxiety? It's worry. What's worrying? It imagines. That's what it does. It imagines a false threat, and then it paralyzes you. It freezes you up. Our worries usually tells us a lie about what's not really happening. Someone once said this, anxiety is a meteor showers of what ifs. It's a meteor showers, one after another, of what ifs. You know, what if I get sick? Or what if my kids get sick? Or what if the market crashes? Or what if I don't get married? Or what if I lose my marriage? What if a plane crashes? What if the car crashes? What if I lose my job? What if I don't make money? What if I lose my job? What if we don't have enough money? What if my kid's teeth get crooked and I don't have enough money because we can't afford it? And then because their teeth are crooked, they can't get a job. And because they can't get a job because their teeth are crooked, they can't get married. And because they can't get married, they can't have kids, and I can't have grandkids. My life is ruined. This is where you live. You freeze up, you're paralyzed in the what if, and it fills your mind. What if it's imaginary? It's not true. And Satan constantly put those worrying thoughts. He said, so whatever is true, right? That's what we're to land. Whatever is true, not imaginary, but whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure. I mean, the things we see, it just pops in, those thoughts, they pop in. You weren't looking for it, they just popped up. You know, you might be on an app and they give you an ad and it's inappropriate and it's like, whoa. And it gives you the impure thoughts. You choose whether that thought stays or leave. That garbage, you choose garbage in, garbage out. Don't keep the garbage. Reroute it. Say, hey, get out of my mind, get out of my thoughts. Whatever is pure, whatever is love, whatever is admirable. These are the things that we are going to logically allow our minds to dwell on. Another translation for this is to meditate on. Meditate. We're to meditate only on what's good. That word meditation is really misunderstood in our culture today. We think, people tend to think that meditation is about people sitting down on the ground with their legs crossed, with their arms and hands up, and they're humming. In some Eastern religions, they believe that meditation, this is what they believe. They believe that it's about the emptying of your mind. We're told, hey, we've got to empty our minds. Empty your thoughts. Get it all out. Empty your mind. For some, they believe that's what you got to do. You got to empty it all out. But that is not what Paul is telling us to do. As I've studied meditation throughout the scripture, I cannot find one place in the Bible where we are told to empty your mind. In fact, we're told the exact opposite. We're told that instead of emptying our mind, when you meditate, we're going to fill it. We're going to fill it with something else. I love what Psalm says, 119, verse 15. The psalmist says, I meditate on nothing. Is that what that says? No. It says, I meditate on what? On your precepts. On your word, right? I will consider your ways. I'm gonna meditate the ways of God. I'm gonna meditate on his laws, right? Verse 15, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And that is, my friend, where you're gonna find your truth, from his word. Not gonna get your truth from the culture of this world, from pop culture and from media, from entertainment, from music. You're gonna get your truth from the word of God. And here's how you do it. To battle negative thoughts, you don't empty your mind, you fill it with what's good. You fill it with what's good. I got over here. I've got this case, the container. Let's just say this represents your mind and my mind. All of us here. And that's what this represents. And we have a spiritual enemy who wants to constantly fill your mind with things that are not true, things that are impure, not right, not admirable, not noble. He constantly wants to fill it with those things. He has a hangar full of 747s, 747 airplanes that want to land in your mind, and he wants to fill things with those what if, with those impure thoughts. He said, hey, what if I lose my job? Or what if we lose my money? What if we don't have enough money, right? You want to fill those things. You want to fill us with what if I don't find someone to get married? What if I don't find love? You know, what if I can't find a job? What if all these what ifs? And Satan constantly wants to fill our mind. I am out of control here. He wants to constantly fill our hearts, our mind, with all of these negative thoughts. And he wants us to live like this. By the way, when you live like this, he robs you of you being effective for God. You cannot live a positive life with a negative mindset. You just cannot. You can't get there. And people will notice. You may not notice it, but people will notice that something's off in your life because this is how you live. This is how you fill your mind. And so God is teaching us, hey, we've got to get rid of these. And listen, some of you have lived here for so long, it may take a while to get rid of some of these thoughts. It may take some time. But your mind, your brain is pliable. It can develop new pathways. It can get there. It may not happen overnight, but you can slowly get rid of all of these evil thoughts, these negative thoughts. You can get there. But this is not what we're supposed to say, though. We're not supposed to just empty our mind and live there, because if we empty our mind, it's a vacuum for it to come back. And so, hey, you know, we come back to this. And so we can't just live empty-minded. You can't be empty-minded all day. I know some of you wives think, well, I think that's what my husband does every day. I think he's empty-minded every day, okay? No, we don't want to stay here. What we want to do is we want to start thinking the thought that God wants us to think about. And those thoughts will shape our lives. We start thinking what is true. We start thinking what is right. We start thinking what is pure. We start thinking what is noble and praiseworthy. We start thinking about all the things that God wants us to think about. And if you're taking note, the more you fill your mind with what's good, the less room there is for what's not good. In other words, when your mind is full of this, then there's not room for this. If you try to add this in, it's not going to stick around. It's just going to overflow to the top. It can't cram in because you have filled it with the right kind of thinking. There we go. It's somewhere there. That's okay. Here's what some of you are thinking right now. This is, God, I can't do this. I have lived with negative mind, with worrying thoughts, impure thoughts all my life. And I hear you, but I can't get there. And if you're a follower of Christ and you're here today, listen. You have the Spirit of God who lives inside of you. The same Spirit of God that breathed life into humanity. The same Spirit of God that divided the Red Sea for the Israelites. The same Spirit of God that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. It's the same power that lives within you. You can, by the power of God in your life, have the life and the mindset that God wants you to have. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 5. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That means Satan, he constantly wants to bring in the lies. He wants to speak lies in your mind. Why? Because the more lies you believe, the less effective for God you become. And so we've got to tear down those arguments and all those false teaching that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then he says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We got to take captive. That word captive, it literally means to arrest someone with a weapon. To arrest someone with a weapon. And in the time of 2 Corinthians, people might have a sword as a weapon. You're thinking, well, I don't have a weapon. You do have a weapon. And we talk about this weapon earlier this year when we did a series on the battle armor of God. And we said that one of the weapons that you have is a sword. And that sword is the word of God. You see it, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. That's your weapon. That's the sword. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges, in other words, it discerns the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So I'm going to use God's word to discern what I allow to take captive, and I will take those thoughts and make it obedience to God. Y'all with me? I'm going to use this book and say, how you do that? I'm going to use God's word, and Paul gives us that powerful list of what we use at the air traffic control list. The air traffic control of our mind in Philippians 4, verse 8. Now let's just talk about anxiety again. let's just talk about it, because that's the root right here in chapter 4, it's anxiety. And for those of you that know, just say it out loud. It's one word, three letters. What is the main theme of the book of Philippians?
Joy.
And here's another question. All good, all right? Where is Paul writing this letter of Philippians?
Prison.
It's in prison. He talks about joy in the worst circumstances imaginable. And for many of you, you've struggled with anxiety for so long that it has become a way of life for you. And because you are living like this, because your mind is full of these dark thoughts, and you live like this, you have robbed the joy out of your life. You don't have joy. Paul says, hey, we're to rejoice in the Lord always because God is good, right? Remember that? God is good and God is in control. Don't be anxious. Let's put in what's true in our mind. And so the question is, what are you anxious about? What is that category of anxiety that floods your mind every single day? For some of you, it's anxiety of relationship. For some of you, it's anxiety of love. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage, and you're like, what if my marriage don't make it? Or what if I can't find love? Or what if I wonder if God loved me? You know, you have those thoughts, those crazy thoughts in your mind. Or finances. What if we don't make it financially? Or what if I lose my job? What if the market crashes? You know, for me, if I can be just transparent with you, I have moments in my life where I struggle with my personal self-esteem. And I have these negative thoughts that come flying in. The thought that says, I'm not good enough. The thought that says, hey, I don't fit in. I'm not worthy. The thought that, hey, Scott, you're the handicapped guy in the room. You're the deaf guy. How can you hear people and how can they understand you? I get these thoughts. They fly in. I can't control these thoughts, but I can control whether they land in my head or not. And how do I do that? I take God's word, and I take captives of every thought, those negative thoughts, and I make them obedient to God. And I fill my mind with the scripture. Here's my go-to verse. When I start thinking of verses, I pull up Ephesians chapter 2 in my memory bank, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that says, hey, for we are God's masterpiece. And I say, man, I'm God's masterpiece. I might think I'm messed up. I might think I'm not worthy. I might not think I fit in, but according to God, I'm special. I'm loved. I'm uniquely made by him for his purpose and for his glory. It says, right? It says that for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I read that and I say, man, I have taken those negative thoughts and I put them back where they belong. I say, God, you've got something for me. And I start filling my mind with the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word. And for some of you, you need to stop lingering on the thoughts that are not true, the thoughts that are not lovely, the thoughts that are not pure, and you need to start claiming the truth from God's word and to arrest those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Some of you believe in a lie. Hey, I'm weak. I'll never be strong. But the Bible says that when you are weak, God has the ability to make you strong. Some of you believe in a lie to say, hey, I am alone. I have nobody. And we see over and over and over again in God's word that he is always with you, that God will never leave you, that God will never forsake you. We say, hey, some of you believe in a lie and say, I'm not loved. And my child, my friend, you are a child of God who loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. Some of you, you believe in a lie that, hey, that I'll never be good. I'll never be beautiful. And the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of you believe in Elijah. Man, I'm not good enough. I can't do a ministry. I can't do this service. I can't do what God has called me to do. Oh, my friend, the Bible says that he has given you everything you need according to his riches and glory to provide what you need to live out your calling, your potential in life. He wants that for you. And some of you need to stop believing in the lies and start believing in what's true and what's real and what's lovely and what's pure. Stop believing in that. I got two thoughts, takeaways, and we're done. Real quick. Number one, how you do this? How do I live this way? You got to stay in God's word daily. Every day, we got to meditate on his word. Meditate. Don't just read God's word real quick and move on. Don't read God's word in your Bible app so that you can keep the hot streak going and get a badge because you've got a role going on, but you totally missed what you read. Meditate. If you're so focused on, say, hey, I'm trying to get through a whole year in Bible reading every day, being perfect, but I don't remember what I read, because I never meditated, then you kind of missed the point. We're to dwell on the things of God. Dwell on it. Here's the second thing. We need to surround ourselves with God's people every week. We need each other. Talk about this all the time. We talked about it last week. We like, you know, the penguin huddle. We need to huddle up. We need to encourage each other. We need to speak God's truth to one another. We need to do this. Surround yourself with God's people every week. And for some of you, it's time to make a change in the way you think. No, you can't control every thought that flies in. But be the air traffic controller of your mind. You get to determine what lands, and you get to determine what needs to go. With the power of God within you, he will help you. But to do that, God's word. Got to stick with it. Got to open it. Be in it. And then surround yourself with God's people on a regular basis. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God and how it teaches us how to renew and retrain our mind. God, help us to empty our minds of what's not good, of what's not holy, of those ungodly thoughts, and God, replace it with what is good, what's true, and what's holy. God, I pray that it will help us to live with a different perspective in life. We can have joy because we have filled our minds, we have meditated our minds on good things. And so God, we thank you for the challenge here today is to spend time in your word and what's true, what is lovely, what is right, pure, what is admirable and praiseworthy. Help us to live this. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick before we leave, and I pray that you're, if you're a guest, again, I want to meet you after the service. I'll be out in the hallways. Love to give you a free gift and a thank you for being here. And then we have, we've already talked about the mission trip next week, and so if you're thinking about that, make plans. Let us know that you're going to be there. Make plans to be a part of that. Next Sunday after the second service, we'll be right in here. Be real quick. And I also want to, I've got a challenge for the church. I got a challenge for about 30 people in this room. Okay, so not everybody, but 30. But we, you know, the Lord has been blessing our church in the last, this last quarter. We've seen growth upon growth every week. And one of the challenges of growth, which is a good thing to have, to see new people. Can we celebrate the fact that we had 15 people last Sunday that got baptized? Yeah? Incredible service, incredible day last week. And if you tried to come to church last week and you were late, you were like, oh, where do we park? And so I just want to say this. We're looking for 30 cars for the 9:30 service and for the 11 o'clock. Now, some of you might be able to say, hey, I can do both because I'm here for both. And that's great. We're looking for people, be one of 30 cars per service that will park in one of two places, off campus, off site, across the street at the Star Plaza, wide open for it to be used. And then we can also use the dentist office over here. They built a new dentist office. They're allowing us to park there too. If you don't want to play Frogger over Van Dyke, it's one of my favorite human games. Okay, it's real. But if you don't want to play that, but you want to still be involved, you can park on the same side of Lake Point, just north of us. It's a Hope Chiropractor, and just past the Triangle Building. You see the Triangle Building? It's like two buildings down from that, and they allow us to park there too. So be one of 30, and here's what I'm asking, man. I'm looking for a commitment on your connection card. I've already did this once, and I got it. Listen, I've already committed to this. I've been doing this for a while. Some churches, there's a special parking spot for the pastor. Right there in front and center, not Lake Point, because he who served leads last, right? We're going to, that's the way that Jesus did it. He washed his disciples' feet. So I park across the street every Sunday. I'm looking for 29 cars to join me, 29 cars that want to play Frogger maybe with me. And so I'm going to do this again. I'm going to double because I'm going to write my name down. I already got 1.0, but I'm going to put my last name here in case they don't know who that is in the office. All right, and then I'm going to circle, I've already circled at 9:15. I'm going to circle at 11 o'clock. And listen, I'm doing it because I'm hoping to see some of us here, picking it up at the same time. Okay, Pastor Scott doing it. I need to do it too. All right, and so I'm challenged to do this. Listen, I drop off my family sometime, but I encourage you, hey man, drop off your family at the front door, then whip out, and it'll be great. And you will allow us to create space for people that need to hear the gospel. We're on a mission trip, and a lifelong mission trip. You don't have to go to Romania. I'm glad you're over there. You don't have to go to the other side of the world to go on a mission trip. You can go on mission right here, right now, on Sunday morning. We are on mission. And so help us so we can make room. And so I can just park on the grass. Listen, the grass can be used for overflow parking for visitors that show up. And so it helps us to get cars off-site. Be one of 30. If you're elderly or able-bodied, or single mom for kids, we're not asking you to do that. We're asking for the able bodies, all right? And so we're looking for that. So be one of 30. We'll have some special parking perks, I promise you, for those that commit and be a part of that club and a great club to be a part of. That's all, Dan. Our prayer team, you're going to come forward, get set up. If you want to pray with any one of our prayer team, as we dismiss here in a minute, you can come forward. Pray with one of them. Next Sunday could be a great day. Hope you'll be here next week. If you're a guest, I'd love to meet you out here in the hallways. Got something for you. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we're thankful for all that you've done. Help us to live the life you want to live. Help us to have the thought that you want us to have. And help us to go out this week to make a difference in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.